You need to start declaring what you have. Amen. Let that come into alignment. Let your heart, the belief of your heart, come into agreement with what is true in heaven. Declare on earth what God is declaring in heaven. I've given you my spirit. With my spirit comes love and joy and peace and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Amen. And everything that you have need of is in Christ, and you are complete in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So start declaring with your mouth what you believe in your heart, what God has already given to you. Amen. And sometimes we just have to tell our face, face, you have joy. Oh yeah. Put some new wrinkle lines in that face. Amen. Hallelujah. The devil tries to tell you that God doesn't love you. Amen. You know, or he only loves you when you're doing good. You see, if we believe the lie that he only loves me when I'm doing good, then when I'm doing bad, God doesn't love me. And he works on discouragement. He wants to take your faith. He wants to take the courage out of you to stand. And you stand upon the truth, on the word of God, and God's promise that he would never leave us or forsake us. And nothing shall separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Amen. So I claim that and I proclaim that, amen, with my mouth. Yes. Hallelujah. Did you know that your mouth is like the launching pad, amen, of praise? And praise is toxic to the devil. Some of you got to learn that. God wants to unzip those lips. Just like that word we got. You got to unzip them, and you got to choose as an act of your will to begin to audibly give God praise. Hallelujah. And praise produces faith of the heart, because you're coming into agreement with the truth about who God is when you proclaim his greatness, his goodness, his awesomeness. God is faithful. God is good. God is righteous. God is my Father. God is my provider. He's my protector. He's my all in all. I believe. And therefore I declare with my mouth what I believe in my heart. Amen. Amen. Salvation is confessing with your mouth what you believe in your heart. How many believe today? Amen. And the Bible says, whoever believes will not be ashamed. Do I need to say that again? Whoever believes will not be ashamed. We don't have to bow our heads. Guys, listen. It wasn't until I got over myself and over the opinions of people and what people thought, you know, and I started, like Larry said, got on my ugly praise and said, I'm just going to go after God with everything that's in my being. Amen. I'm going to break out of this prison of self, self-centeredness, self... Come on. Self-righteousness. Yeah, I know what else. Self-pity. Thank you. How about self-consciousness? Even self-confidence. So anything to do with self, right? That's our problem. You can't be Christ-centered and self-centered simultaneously. So I got to get over myself. And that's not always easy. Sometimes you got to fight with that old man, you know? You got to put him in his place. And you got to do contrary to what you may be feeling at the moment. See, a lot of Christians, they live just by their feelings. Well, I feel saved today, so I must be. I wake up in the morning, I don't feel saved today, so I must not be. I must have done something to grieve God, and God hates me now. And the devil comes along and says, yeah, that's right. He's a liar. Remember this, God first loved you. It's not that we loved him, he loved us first. And he wants us to enjoy his fellowship, his presence, his love. Know his love in our hearts. You know, when you got something good, you want to share it. When your heart is overflowing with God, you can't help but give expression to that. And sometimes you just got to fight to get out of that bag. You know what I'm saying? You ever put a cat in a bag? I hope you haven't. But you got to get the cat out of the bag. Sometimes we're just like that. I've used that illustration before. A dog that's been in the kennel so long, he doesn't realize the door's open. They open the door, but he's been in there so long, he still sits in the kennel, still thinks he's in a prisoner. And God says, I've already opened the door for you. Walk in your freedom. Claim it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Possess what I've already given you. Hallelujah. Certain people started receiving the Holy Spirit when you started to explain, listen, did you ask God for the Holy Spirit? Well, yes. Well, did you believe? Well, yes. Then you received the Holy Spirit. Ah, yes, yes, that's right. Do you understand? It's simple. We complicate it. You don't have to go through the 12 doctrinal steps to receive the Holy Spirit. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Because he knows it's not because we're so spiritual that he gives us the Holy Spirit, but because we're not. And he knows what we need, and we need him. So we've got to believe that God wants to give us his Holy Spirit. Amen? So God says, you know, I will dwell in a clean temple. Under the Old Testament, he said, you've got to purify everything with blood. Amen? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe he rose again on the third day? For your justification? Do you believe it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom?
Yes.
Is it your Father's pleasure to give you his Holy Spirit?
Yes.
So receive what he has already given freely.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So give voice to it.
Yeah.
Give voice to the truth.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. See, praise is toxic to the devil. So if he can shut down your praise, he can keep you in toxicity. He doesn't want to be where there's praise to God. So he tries to get us focused on self. Well, I got to be cool. I don't want anybody to think I'm like those people over there. Come on. I don't know about you, but I got in a lot of trouble hanging out with cool people.
Oh, yeah.
But the coolest people I've ever met are God's people.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Hollywood presents this false image, doesn't it? You've heard it said, but it's like a pig with lipstick. It's still a pig, amen? Say, oh, I want to be like that. No, you don't. You want to be like your Creator. You want to be like Jesus. So sometimes we're looking for identity in all the wrong places. How many beside myself have been there, done that? You know, who do I fit with? Who's my clique? Who's my group? So we associate with celebrities or musicians. You know, well, I'm a follower of this musician or that celebrity or that style or that whatever Hollywood and the media wants to present to you as what it means to be somebody. And all it is a distraction. The devil wants you to worship him. So he wants to divert you away from understanding who you are in Christ so that you chase after other gods and look to be fulfilled by other gods that can never satisfy you but leave you more empty than when you began. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
They don't make you happy. I don't know if you ever walk through the grocery lines and glance over at those tabloids. I know you've never looked at them before. You've never looked at them before. But sometimes if it's a long line, you just think, you can't help but look and say, oh my word, what a drama queen, or what a mess, or they got all that money, all that bling, and they're so unsatisfied, they're so dysfunctional. Why? Because we're all created for God. You're only going to find your completion in your Creator, amen? He created us with purpose and meaning. And you got to know the heart of your Father and be like him. You don't have to be like anybody else. God made you and I unique, didn't he?
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to try to act like, be like somebody else except one. Like our Father. Like Father, like Son. Father God, I just pray today that you would grant me utterance to speak and that we will hear your voice today. Remove, Lord, those barriers, those things that would hinder or block us from receiving revelation today. Anoint our ears to hear. Holy Spirit, come and impart truth into every heart here this morning, God, and bring transformation, bring revelation. in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says the entrance of His Word brings light. Amen. Darkness cannot abide where there's light. So we need truth, amen, to combat the lie. And if you don't know the truth, you can't be free. And you can't walk in your freedom in Christ unless you know what is true, what is authentic. So the enemy does not want you to study God's Word or know God's Word, because he knows that once you know what is true, you won't be duped by the lie. So he's very good at keeping especially young people distracted by a lot of things, but all of us, if we're not careful, like Judy just shared, so that he can keep us from understanding the truth, knowing the truth. Well, that's for those people over there. Well, that's just for the older people. That church stuff. We just like to communicate and write notes and make little funny pictures. And I remember when I was a little boy, I was in a Baptist church. And actually, this was not your, I wouldn't say average or typical Baptist church, but it was a Baptist church that was in Pentecost. They were had the fire of God and the move of the Spirit, and there was gifts and tongues, interpretation and prophecy and casting out demons. The whole thing was going on because the pastor was a Spirit-filled man. You know? So it's not about a denominational label, amen. It's about allowing the Spirit of the Lord to work and operate in a people who are receptive and open to what God wants to do, and not what man thinks is best, but what God says is best. So we were in this situation. And I remember even children at my age when I was young, they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And I even saw little children prophesying, you know. And it was authentic stuff. And to me, it was just kind of, it was Greek, you know. I mean, I didn't understand everything. And I found myself, of course, being distracted by looking around and seeing what the other kids were doing and looking for somebody that wasn't engaged or tuned in, so that I could occupy that time and get over that time period that we were in, you know, so I could get out of there and do my own thing, because I was blind to what God was doing. And I didn't realize that what was happening is the devil was actually stealing from me. He was keeping me ignorant. He was keeping me blind to truth, because he had some plans for my life. God had a plan for my life, but so did the devil. Do you understand that's true today for all of us here? The devil has plans for you, but so does the Lord. And you have to decide who you're going to follow. You can't follow both. You can't be double-minded. And so I remember just being distracted by things and not getting the truth and not listening to the message that was spoken, even by the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. And as a result, the enemy knew where I was blind. He knew the areas that were dark in me. And those are the very places where he attacked. And he seduced me into the love of the world and the things of the world so that he could destroy my life. And he did a pretty good job at it for many years. Do you know God is faithful? God is faithful to us. But the Father loves you so much. Your Heavenly Father loves you so much, and He doesn't want you following the path of destruction, amen, that so many are following. He doesn't want you following the crowd. We're not chickens, we're eagles, amen? Chickens follow the crowd. But eagles soar, amen, above that. They set their perch on high, amen, and they soar, hallelujah, on the winds, amen? Likewise, as believers, we are to soar on the wind of the Spirit. Amen. And God wants to lift you up above the snake line. Amen. The eagles put their perch in places where the vipers cannot attack or strike or even eat the eggs. And so it is. God wants His people to understand that He has a place for us in Him, a place of security, a place of refuge, a place where we are protected, amen, where the Father spreads His wings, if you will, over us. It's called the secret place of the Most High. God wants His people to abide in Him. in that secret place. There's no confusion there. There's no fear there. There's no anxiety there. There's no worry. In God's presence, there's perfect peace. In God's presence is fullness of joy. But if the enemy can keep you and I in the darkness by keeping us away from the revelation or the counsel of God, or even getting us to agree with only what we want to agree with, rather than receiving the full counsel of God, you know, I'll just choose what I want to believe and the rest of it I'm just going to leave aside. How many know that if you don't eat a balanced diet, you can get sick? Amen. You're not going to be healthy if you're not eating the right things. And so likewise, the enemy wants you to feed on things that may taste good, but they don't produce life. People can actually be... I just talked to a brother who's been in the hospital recently. What had been happening is he'd been living on chocolate bars and ice cream and those TV dinners or whatever they are now, the microwave dinners. Dating myself. Do they still have TV dinners? I don't know. They do. All processed, all dead food. You know. And so what was happening is he was starving himself to death while he worked. And so he wasn't taking the time to get fresh fruits and vegetables and start eating healthier. Amen. But he was living on, you know, candy bars and things like that. And, you know, this really an illustration, I think, that if you and I are not careful, if we're only eating the sweet, we're only eating the things that may taste good. Sometimes the things that taste good are actually detrimental to our health. Are you hearing me, somebody? Sometimes the things that the devil offers you may look good. They may even taste good initially, but they produce death. And he wants to destroy, doesn't he? God wants a people that understand the joy of his fellowship and the freedom of living in the truth. What is the truth? It's what's real. It's what's authentic. Amen. We've all been deceived. We've all listened to things and believed things that we thought were true and then find out later on, oh, she said these wonderful things to me. I thought she was telling me the truth. Oh, he was saying such wonderful things, complimenting me, flattering me, saying so many wonderful things about me, to only find out he was just setting me up. It was a lie. That's what the devil does. He dresses things up to make it look good so that you don't recognize the poison that's underneath. But God came that we might have life, and life more what? Abundantly. Amen. So, Hebrews 9:27 this morning. Hebrews 9:27 and 28. You know, God gave us his word to prepare us. To give us comfort, counsel, right? Instruction in righteousness, correction. He wants his people to be healthy. He wants his people to be whole. He wants his people to enjoy his life, his superior life. Amen? So we have to understand that when we look around in our world today, we're seeing all kinds of dysfunction. I mean, the governments of the earth are in chaos. The boundaries are breaking down, the distinctions, even between the sexes today. There's so much confusion and the propaganda and the things that they're teaching our children today that do not agree with the counsel of God, the word of God, which abides forever. There's natural disasters, there's war, there's anarchists running abroad in the street, amen. There's violence, murder, sexual perversion of every kind. I mean, people are killing each other in the name of religion. Families are disintegrating, they're dragging each other into court. Blatant mockery of God and his people. I mean, the people that are the comedians today, you know, much of what they're saying is a complete mockery of God. And they don't understand that if they don't repent of that, they're in big trouble. In fact, they are now. And we're living in a time, correct me if I'm wrong, but no one knows who to trust. I mean, even among brethren, you know, we're like, well, who can I trust? Who is someone that I can confide in that I know will guard my heart, that really loves me and will protect me? How many know that when you mess up, you don't want somebody running around, amen, and getting on Facebook and letting everybody know? Are you hearing me, somebody? If I mess up, by the grace of God, I hope I don't, but if I ever did, I don't want somebody getting on Facebook or on media somewhere and letting everybody know what he did. We want to go around and we want to correct all the problems and all the preachers and everybody that's doing this and doing that. The real question is, do you love that person? Do you care about their soul? Do you think that going around and just talking about all the bad things they're doing is actually loving that person? Have we taken the time or the effort to try to go and contact that person maybe?
Right.
I know in some cases it's not possible. But what I'm trying to say is love, God's kind of love, is a love that covered us. Calvary was God covering us. God was saying, you deserve to die, but I'm going to die in your place. You deserve the curse, but I'm going to receive that on your behalf. God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us. In other words, the sin bearer. He bore our sins on his body on the tree on our behalf because God wanted to cover us. God wanted us, amen, to be protected and to be brought into fellowship. And even today, when you and I mess up, do you know God's not out there saying, do you know what so-and-so did? Why don't you tell everybody what so-and-so did? The reason why a lot of people don't want to come into fellowship meetings is because they're paranoid. They're afraid that somebody's going to expose them. Somebody's going to find something out and then, oh, wait till the ladies hear about this. And how about the men? Come on. The ladies get that rap, but the men are just as bad sometimes. Amen? We've got to be careful. Do we love that person that fell? How many know that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment? Brother Ed shared that the other night. Be very careful what you say. Especially concerning a brother and sister whom Christ died and redeemed with his blood and called them to himself, and they are his servants. They are his son or daughter. Amen. And so we got to be very careful, because what I'm saying about a brother and sister is exactly really directing that towards the Lord. Listen, if you have children here and somebody accuses your children, even if it's authentic, even if it's true, how many of your parents don't appreciate that? I'm not saying you deny that it ever happened and maybe there needs to be some correction in the situation. You don't want somebody, amen, finding out something about your child and then spreading it all around. Why? Because you love your child. You want to protect the honor and the dignity of your child, and because there's somebody that you care about, you don't want their name dragged through the mud. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
When and if you and I were to fall or fail, we want somebody, amen, who would try to help us up, not kick us while we're down.
Yeah.
And not start comparing ourselves to somebody else. So, God, I thank you that I'm not like that. Without the grace of God, that's exactly who we are. Amen? Apart from the grace of God, we're a mess. And we're going to fail. That's why we need to lean heavily on Jesus. That's why we need to walk carefully with the Lord. That's why we need to draw near to God. He'll draw near to us. He'll give us the ability, the grace, amen, to get control of ourselves, amen, and to put our passions, amen, that are evil to rest, amen, and to live in the power of the Holy Spirit and to live a life that is bearing good fruit and glorifying the Father in heaven. Come on, somebody. God wants His people to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have their entire being filled with the light of Christ, no place dark. And so the truth is that which penetrates the darkness of our lives, amen, and brings that revelation. And love is what covers a multitude of sins. If you see a brother or sister that's in error, pray. God may have you go and correct. Amen. Bring some correction, loving correction, considering yourself when you do that. Hallelujah. I find out that as I get older, I've been walking with the Lord longer, that I'm a little not quite as quick to point out the sliver in my brother's eye. How many know what I'm talking about? When you're doing good and you're strong, you're so confident, I'm going to go around and fix everybody. Until all of a sudden you say, whoops, oh, somebody cut me off in traffic. I had a weak moment. Caught up in self. There's an old song back in the, Dan, you remember this. Take a look at yourself and you can look at others differently. By putting your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee. Some of you remember that. Every time I look into the holy book, I want to tremble. Amen. Well, anyways, Hebrews 9:27. And it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now, it doesn't end there. Look at verse 28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him. To those who what?
Eagerly.
Wait for him. He will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. You know, who are those who are eagerly waiting for the Lord? Those who have divorced themselves from this world and this evil world system and who are living for the King and His kingdom in the new creation and the superior quality and quantity life that is in Christ, they have discovered that there's something better that God has for us that far outweighs anything that this temporal world could give us. So we're not getting bogged down in the temporal things of this life, but we're keeping our eyes on Jesus. We're looking above because we understand that God has something better for us. Who are those who are eagerly waiting the return of the Lord? Those who are living for Jesus. Those who have forsaken, if you will, their life in this world are the ones who are looking for Him to come. Why? Well, God, give me another 20 years so I can go out and party and do whatever I want to do. And then when I retire, I start drawing Social Security. I'll have lots of time to serve you then. Do you know a lot of people think that way? They just think, well, I've got all these years. I can just do whatever I want. And then one of these days, I'll just kind of like turn it over to God and I'll start serving the Lord. And many of those people never even see that year come, that day come. And what if today was your last day? Are you looking forward with joy and anticipation and excitement for the day that you see Jesus? Why? Because you've already been acquainted with Him. You already walk with Him. You enjoy Him now. You're not afraid, amen, of that day, because as He was in this world, so are we. Do you have confidence that you will stand in that day? That you will be right before God in that day? You're absolutely convinced of that? Are you sure? Do you have that witness in you that you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's the only place we need to put our faith. Amen. Our trust is not in self, not in my ability, but in Jesus Christ. And when I am in faith, I'm in obedience. I'll say it again. When I'm in faith, I'm in obedience. You can't say I believe God and not do what He tells me to do. Romans 14:12. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Wow. Guys, I don't know about you, but sometimes I tremble when I read this. I'm not always that confident. But I do need to check myself out and make sure, amen, that I'm right in standing. I got to believe what God says and quit believing everything else. Quit believing the devil who lies to you. It says God doesn't really mean what He says. Do you believe that God is able to keep that which you commit to Him? You believe that if you give something to Jesus, he's able to hang on to it.
Yeah.
Amen. So this is the thing. He can't or he won't hang on to anything that's not in his hands. In other words, I have to give myself to him. I have to present myself to him. All right? That's my responsibility, is to offer my body back to him now. As a living sacrifice. It's time to live for Jesus.
Amen.
If you're not doing it, it's time to get on board. Amen? You remember back in Noah's day? 8 souls. 8 souls. What were they all doing? They were looking forward to God's deliverance. They were looking forward to the time when God would call them aboard the ark and God himself sealed the door and they would be rescued from the wrath that was coming upon the whole face of the earth of that day. Do you understand what were they doing? They were occupying themselves with the purpose of God, with the will of God, with the mission of God. The mission for Noah and his family was to build the ark. The ark is a type of the body of Christ. We are to be engaged in the building up of the body of Christ. Each one of us has been given a unique responsibility as builders. Amen? Somebody may be a plumber, a carpenter, an electrician. Each one of us has been given a responsibility. What was that responsibility? Well, I may be a prophet. I may be an evangelist, a teacher. I may have an apostolic calling. Amen. I may be given the mission of mercy. Of serving. Yes, brother. There's so many gifts that God gives. And why does he give us gifts? Because he's expecting us, first of all, to receive and what? And use them. Come on. For what? For the building up of the body of Christ, because the day is coming when the Lord will be glorified in his church. And everybody that's been a participant and been involved in the work of God and have lived their lives for Jesus and for his mission, these are the ones that are eagerly waiting for the return of Jesus. If your love and your affection and your treasure is just in this world and the temporal things of this world, you're not going to be looking for Jesus. You're going to be asleep when Jesus comes. Because the Bible says they knew not until the day that they entered into the ark and the flood came and took them all away. Ooh. So God wants his people to understand their mission. Their purpose, being involved, working together, each one as God has given you grace. We're not all the same, and I can't expect everybody to do what I do. Amen? God has uniquely designed me to do something, and he's given you tasks and abilities. Amen? Find out what it is, what your purpose is, in the bigger picture of things in building the body. And you can't build the body if you're not connected to the body. John the Baptist warned of a day, it's called the day of the Lord, but the day of the wrath of God. He said it's going to come upon the whole earth. And he said in Matthew 3:7, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, remember, people were coming to be baptized of John at the River Jordan, remember? And he was the one that later baptized Jesus. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so John was calling people to repentance. To prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord was coming. He says, make a way for the Lord. Where? In your heart. A highway for our God. Get your heart in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord. And so even now he says, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And of course this agrees also with John 15 and what Jesus taught. Amen. About abiding in him. And I indeed baptize you with water under repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. And the winnowing fan is that instrument they would use to separate the wheat from the chaff, right? And he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So this shaking first began at the coming of the Lord, His first coming. And so the prophets of old referred to this as the day of the Lord. Here we read Joel chapter 2, verse 1, says, "The day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness." Malachi 4, 1, here again, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud..." Who are the proud? Those who will not submit or bow their knee to Christ. "All who do wickedly will be stubble, and the day which is coming shall burn them up." Isaiah 34, 1, "Come near, you nations, to hear, and heed, you people, let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations." There's coming a time when God's wrath will come against all nations. "And His fury against all their armies." 2 Peter 3, 7, "But the heavens and the earth which now exist," this New Testament, "are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire unto the day of judgment and perdition," or destruction, "of ungodly men." Verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God." Who's looking for the coming of the day of God? With confidence. Those who are living for God. Those who love our Lord. "Because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, even the heavens," it says, "and the elements will melt with fervent heat." This could be a nuclear holocaust. Who knows? "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." So here we shift into the promise that God has promised to His faithful, to His people. Those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're not supposed to be afraid of these things. There's no fear in God's love. We should have confidence in the day of judgment. We should look forward to the day when we get to see Jesus face to face in all of His glory. Hallelujah. We should anticipate the Lord saying, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Who are the good and faithful servants? The ones who were about their master's business while He was away. Not those who just did their own thing and once in a while included God in, especially when they had a problem. "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." Hallelujah. Well, it's righteousness. Wherever Jesus is righteous. Amen. It's going to be a perfect environment. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. What things? That we just read. These things are coming. The wrath of God is coming, but the promise of God also stands sure. That we can have our hope and our confidence in Jesus and not fear these things. Instead of being scared, we should be prepared. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace." How many know you need to be at peace with your brother? Peace with your sister? Amen. You need to deal with something. You need to forgive somebody. You better take care of it now. Get it right with God. Amen. Don't let that thing prevent you from entering into the kingdom. That's right. Jesus said to be thrown into the prison. Torture, torment, prison. Amen. If you choose to not forgive somebody. God in His mercy forgave us. Canceled the debt. Amen. Paid it in full. How can we then go out and not forgive somebody who sins against us? We didn't deserve God's forgiveness. And those who sin against you may not necessarily deserve it. But we do what's right, amen, in the sight of our God, because that's His heart. His heart is not that no one would perish. And no one would perish. But that all would come to repentance. That all would turn back to Jesus Christ, give them their heart, their life, and live, amen, for the kingdom. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Above everything else, seeking the Lord. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless, and considering that the long suffering," or that means patient endurance, of our Lord is salvation. So listen, guys, we have an appointment with God. You have an appointment with God. Are you ready? So whenever God gives a warning, he just doesn't leave it there, thank God. Amen? If God gives us a warning, he also gives us consolation. He gives us a promise. When he warns of judgment, he gives a way of escape. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14 at the building of the temple? Amen? If God had brought a drought upon the land because of the sins of the people, he said, well, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, submit yourself to God, come under his authority, under his rule, under his word. Amen? And seek my face and what turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. God wants America to be healed. God wants America to be restored. And guys, it's up to you and I to stand in the gap. It's up to you and I, amen, to make sure that we're walking right with God. That we're being salt and light. We're being an example as we are representing our Father here in the earth. We don't bring reproach or discredit upon our Lord's name. Amen. Claiming to be a Christian and living like the devil. It's no different than when your son or your daughter goes out to school and they bear your name. And they call that roll call and your last name is there. Amen. And when your kids are being knuckleheads, it's like, oh man. I wonder what their parents are like. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm saying? Can our kids not embarrass us? They can embarrass us, yes. But they can also bring joy. They can also bring honor to their parents. Honor your mother and your father. Amen. Yeah, that it may go well with you and you may live long on the earth. There's a promise of long life if you honor your mother and your father. Amen. So, honor goes a long ways because even as our children can either honor or dishonor us, so you and I as children of God can what? Either honor or dishonor our Father by our conduct. Why? Because we are representing Him. We are God's representatives. Amen. And so we are going to see Jesus. Hallelujah. I want the Lord to say, well done. And when God gives these warnings, he's given consolation. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, for God did not appoint us. Who's he talking to? The church. He didn't appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. God wants us to live together with him, to walk with him, to enjoy him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify, build up one another just as you are also doing. Are we doing that? Are we building up? Are we edifying? Are we encouraging? Are we being part of the solution rather than the problem? Amen. How many believe that it's important for us to be together as much as possible? Amen. Not just in church, but outside, right? Hanging out, getting together, edifying, building, amen, sharing together. All right. That's what Jesus wants for us. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. What is the commandment today? What is the New Testament commandment? That you love one another. Yeah. In this, all the law is fulfilled in that you love one another. Love God and love one another. Amen. And so that he may establish you, your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Guys, I want to say this one more time. It is vitally important that we understand that the way we treat one another is how we're treating the Lord. What we say against a brother or sister. I'm baffled by people have a little falling out with somebody, you know, and what do? They get on Facebook. God's people on Facebook slandering one another. God help us. Love covers. Amen? The love of God doesn't do that. What must I do to be prepared? What if Jesus was returning today? Let me say this. Hebrews 12:25. We'll let the word of God speak. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
See that you do not refuse him who speaks.
Yeah.
See, a lot of people are hearing, but they're not hearing. They have selective listening. They hear what's being said, but they're just picking and choosing what they're going to obey. So they're not hearing him who's speaking. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, that's Moses, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Guys, listen. Everything is being shaken. Everything will be shaken. Heaven itself will be shaken. Only that which cannot be shaken will remain. Who are they who cannot be shaken? Those who abide in Christ. Those who have faith and confidence in Christ alone and no confidence in their flesh. They're the ones that will remain. Because Christ remains forever. Amen. His word, his promise remains forever. Our confidence in God's promise. And not in self. We can't compare ourselves to anybody else. You and I will give an account. Hebrews 9:28 so says, Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. And here it is again. Are you ready, guys? And unto them that look for him, he will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Who are those who are looking for Jesus? Those who walk with Jesus. Amen. Do you get it, guys? When we walk in the Spirit, we have life and peace. Amen. We're not living in phobia and fear and anxiety and all that depression, all that stuff. When we walk in the Spirit, there's life and peace. I'm in harmony with Christ. Amen. When you're in harmony with God, you'll have harmony in your heart. Yeah. So the things of life cause us to run to Christ, don't they? He knows what we need. He loves us. We're his dear children. And so the Father has to discipline us at sometimes, because a lot of times we get other gods and other idols and things that come in. And, you know, whether it's media or musicians or fashions or whatever it might be, people can get caught up in what the world is doing. And get their eyes off the purpose for which God saved you and set you apart. In other words, your mission in life is greater than yourself. We're part of something bigger than we are. We're part of the body of Christ. Amen. I'm just one small member of a big family. I just do what God tells me to do. And if we all do what we're called to do, utilizing that grace that God gives us, the giftings he's placed within us to corporately build up the body of Christ, amen, then we complete the mission. Amen. We mature because of the input of others, not just one person. So I encourage you guys to stay connected with each other, amen, even outside of our regular fellowship meetings. Amen. And pray for those that are not here today either. We don't know what goes on in a week. You know? How many know that your life can get shaken in a day if you're not careful? Things can go terribly south very fast, right? So we need to stay close. And we need to hold one another up. And don't judge each other in the sense, oh, they must be falling into something. Or even if they are. What's our heart? Our heart is redemptive. Amen. Our heart is to help that one out, to rescue that one. Amen. And to cover. Hallelujah. You who are spiritual, restore one. Hallelujah. But he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul. Suke. From death and cover a multitude of sins. Love covers. Love wants people to get well. Guys, listen. When you're doing good, I'm doing good. If I'm doing good, you're doing good. Because we're part of the same body. If you stub your toe, if your toe's out of the way, man, it's, you know what I'm talking about? It's like your whole body hurts. So every part of us, every one of us is important. What we want to do is heal. Minister. That's what ministry is, right? Minister to that part that may be broken or lame or sickly or infected. Amen? And the love of God and the word of truth. It will penetrate, amen, as a sword. It can surgically even cut out the things that are causing the infection within the body. Sometimes it hurts to hear the truth. Because the word is a sword. But it's a good sword. It's not a dull sword, amen, that causes more problem than good. Some people have a dull sword. You're just going on clobbering people with a dull sword. But the word of God is a surgical instrument. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. And what it'll do is it'll help sanctify or cut out, amen, and separate us from those things that are evil. Amen. And that we will be sanctified, set apart in our hearts for the Lord and prepared unto every good work. Do you know that God wants every one of us in this room to be on fire for Him? Even young people, God wants you on fire for Him. Have you ever been on fire for Jesus? You ever really been born again to where you're excited about God and you're talking about Jesus and you're praying for people and say, Lord, what can we do today together? What have you got for me today, Lord? And you're just chomping at the bit, right? Just want to get at it, right? That's when the Lord is working in your heart, man. You have His motivation, and that's love. You want to help people. And then we learn how to do that effectively. Amen? Yeah, sometimes we need to work on getting the sword sharpened and learning where to cut. You know, I'm talking about sometimes if you got I don't want a novice surgeon working on me. I want somebody that's been well trained, know what they're doing. Amen. And because then they're going to do a good job. But, you know, we got to practice the faith. How many are practicing the faith? Yeah. How many are talking to people about Jesus? How many are ministering to others, praying for people? Amen. How many have ever regretted serving the Lord? How many have ever regretted not listening to His voice? Come on. Okay. So you know that God is allowing you and me, allowing us to partner with Him so we could have treasure in heaven. He's going to share His glory with us. He said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. Don't get so caught up in the rat race and the keeping up with the Joneses, if some of you know what I'm talking about there, that you're missing heaven. You're missing what really matters, what's really valuable. You know, Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. So you can tell what a person really values by what they're spending their life on. Spending their time doing. We're going to live for the Lord. Store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Because those who are eagerly waiting for the return of Jesus are the ones who are doing the work. Not the work, just good, going around doing good things, but obeying the voice of the Lord. Amen. Doing the mission that God has assigned to you. Amen. And not expecting everybody to have the same assignment necessarily either. That's what I used to come off with. I was like, everybody should see it exactly the way I do. Because even though it is my anointing and maybe I'm right about it, God has diversity in the body. Amen. We got to understand that and recognize that everybody's not going to see it the way I do. Or they're going to have something to contribute as well. It may be a little different. But it's all part of bringing maturity and wholeness and health to the whole body as everybody does their part. So we don't want to be like the foolish, you know, steward who received, you know, the talent, the one talent, remember? And what did he do? He went and hid it in the earth. And when it came for accountability, the Lord said, well, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, I was fearful and I hid it. No, I don't want to hear that from the Lord. I want to know that I've been faithful. I pray, Lord, make me faithful. Keep me faithful to the end. Lord, give me the grace. Give me the strength. Give me the ability to stay the course. To not drop out of the race. To keep my eyes on you every day. God's heart is for every one of us here. God's heart, He loves you so much. And He doesn't want you to be wasted because you are yielding yourself to lesser things that are not really that important. The devil simply wants you to waste your valuable time. How many beside myself realize that life is going very quickly? The days, the moments are fleeting. I mean, it's amazing. So we need to really count the cost and count the days, guys, as we sing that song. And there's joy when we learn to love the cross. When we realize that when we spend ourselves for the Lord and His mission, it's never in vain. When we give ourselves to the mission of God, it's always a joy. Amen? And it's always much better than if I were to spend myself trying to please myself. I can remember getting to a place in my life after drinking heavy and doing drugs and all that stuff where it was no longer a joy in it. It was almost like I just had to do that just to keep from going insane or whatever. You know, but I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't getting high anymore. I could never get to that peak that I once experienced. That was just the bait to get me hooked, you know. I remember sitting in a bar New Year's Eve and just looking around and seeing everything. And everything was so dead and lifeless. Even though people seemed to be having a good time, it was a lie. I was thinking, is this all there is to this? Well, the answer is no. God has something so much better. Don't be foolish. Don't follow the mistakes of others. Listen to the counsel of God. Listen to the wisdom of your parents. They're not perfect. They're going to make mistakes. But they've learned some things in life. Amen? They've been through some things and they know what they only want what's best for their kids. And they say, don't follow in my path and the things that I've been in error. But follow me as I follow Christ. And know that I love you, and that's why I tell you the truth. I don't want you to spend your life foolishly. I don't want you to waste your life. I want you to live for God. I want you to live for the purpose for which He created you. I want you to have your treasure in heaven. And know that we can all be together that day because we have been with the Lord. Amen? We're in Christ. Guys, God wants His church to really consider what you've heard today. What are we doing with ourselves and our time? What is it that you value the most? Is Jesus your greatest treasure? Is the Lord your exceeding joy? Is He the one that satisfies? Or are we turning to lesser things and idols of the heart, whether it be wealth or popularity, the things that the world esteems as great? We need to watch and we need to pray and we need to get back. Amen. If you're distant from the Lord today, you need to get right with God and you need to commit your life to the Lord. If you've fallen out of the race, it's not too late. Get back in. Get back up. Get back in the race. And I want you to pursue the Lord. Seek the Lord with all your heart. He says, if you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found of you. I'll reveal myself to you. And I'll reveal my will to you. And what He'll do is He will make His will your desire. And your heart will burn with passion. Amen. For the things that He esteems. The things that He enjoys. And you'll love the things that God loves and you'll hate the things that God hates. So draw near to God. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Luke 21:34, but take heed to yourselves, Jesus said. Pay attention, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. He's talking about the day of the Lord. If you and I are right with God, if we're in Christ, amen, then we're not appointed to His wrath. We will not be of those who are on the earth in that day, I believe. He said, listen, watch therefore, wake up, pay attention, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Jesus Christ came for a bride. He came to redeem a people who will be His own special people. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the Lord has gone away to prepare a place for us. He's gone back to the Father's house. Amen. And if He's gone away, He said, I will come again and I will receive you. Who's He coming for? The ones that are looking for Him. The ones that are living for Him are the ones that are looking for Him. And He's going to come again for that bride. He's going to take His bride. He says it's not appointed for His bride to suffer His wrath. Look to Jesus. He said that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep looking up, because Jesus is coming soon. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Guys, God means what He says. He's coming. Are you ready to meet the Lord? 2 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Amen? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured, together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you're going to be on that load, that first load. Amen. That you're going to be able to escape these things that are coming and to stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah.